You ever have a hard time making decisions? Some do. Depends on, I guess, the decision that you're having to make. Is it a life and death decision? Is it a spur of the moment decision? Is it just A or B, yes or no? Christians have a process we should go through in making decisions, I believe. Sometimes we make a decision on the spur of the moment, it can turn out to be the wrong decision, the wrong way to go, the wrong A or B. But I want to look tonight at some things that we can take into consideration about the decision-making process for the Christian. I think it's different than the decision-making process of the world. The world will make a decision based on what's in it for me. The world will make a decision based on how do I get a leg up on the other guy. The world will make a decision based on personal gain and hang anything else. But the Christian decision-making process ought to take on a whole different attitude. Let's look at a couple of things. And like I say, sometimes it's A or B, do or don't, yes or no, a simple decision. Sometimes the decisions we make have long-lasting effects. They affect other people in negative or positive ways based on which direction we take. God would prefer us to always make decisions that build up the other one or are good for the other one. Let's look at a couple of things. First of all, the question we should ask ourselves in making a decision, is it lawful? Is it lawful for me to go this direction? Is it more lawful for me to go the other direction? Let's look at a couple of things the Apostle Paul said about this. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's go there together. Ephesians chapter 4, down at verse 25. In considering the lawfulness, is in Scripture there a specific command or a directive or a prohibition about the decision that I'm going to make that would affect my choice, A or B? Paul seems to think there is. In Ephesians chapter 4, down at verse 25, he gives us this directive through the Ephesian letter. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. A list of directives, a list of commandments, a list of necessary ways that we should consider before making choices. If I choose, for instance, to repeat something I heard through the grapevine, is it good? Is it something necessary to say? Is it something I know for sure? Is it something that's lawful? Is it something that, let's see how we can, is it a corrupt word proceeding out of my mouth, verse 29? Is it said out of anger, verse 26? Is it edifying? Verse 29. You see, a lot of those things come into play when we even begin to repeat something we've heard. That's a decision. And that decision-making process, we ought to take in consideration, what is it for the other person, and where am I getting the information, and how am I responding to it? Just a for instance. Is there a principle in this choice I'm making, decision-making process? Is there a principle that should guide me in the process or in the direction I should go? Matthew chapter 7, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So the decision I make ought to have a positive effect on somebody else. It ought to be the way I want somebody else to treat me in their decision-making process. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should be or live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Are my decisions leading me in a sober, righteous, and godly direction in my life? And, you know, you have to put this on and wear it yourself. The decisions that you make in a day's time are different than the ones I might make. They're different choices to make. They come from different areas of life. They come from different people in your life, different situations. So we have to each individually weigh these things, but all of us can take into consideration these qualities that we need to be conscious of when we make decisions. Let's look at another one. Is there an example that I can follow? So if I make a decision about A, B, or C, do I have scriptural example of what someone else did, or an example of what the apostle might have told someone else to do that I can follow? What about Philippians 3:17? Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. What would Paul do? Common thing that people want to ask the last few years, the little braces the kids wear, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, there's a good thing to ask, making a choice about doing A or B. Is it lawful? Secondly, will it edify? Is it something I'm about to do or something I've done or some choice that I made that's edifying to someone else? Is that a scriptural idea? Sure it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things, Paul said, are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Paul could have taken an attitude of command many times in the letters that he wrote to the various churches or various individuals in Scripture. He could have taken that as with Philemon. He could have forced Philemon and commanded he take back Onesimus, the runaway slave. But he chose not to do that because it would not be helpful in that scenario. Choices we make, we need to consider the same example and edification. It's what I'm about to do, am I going to do it in a way that edifies somebody else in the process? There's the good road. If we don't think about edifying somebody else, we're liable to put something on somebody and cause them to stumble over what we've done. Romans 14, verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue things that make for peace and the things by which we may edify another. Every choice we make, there should be somebody on the other side or somebody in our realm of friends or acquaintances that's edified by what we do. We look back at the life of Jesus and Paul and Peter and others, and, you know, Peter, not everything Peter did was edifying to somebody else. Those who heard Peter deny Christ three times, not very edifying. But those who would see him later on, preaching and teaching and doing godly things and helping with the Christian walk and helping with others with their walk, that's a better choice, it's a better decision, a better direction, and more edification along those lines. So secondly, will it edify? Is it lawful? Will it edify? What about long-term effects? You know, sometimes we make choices, I think maybe when we're younger, we make choices that have far more reaching effects than we ever think about. I know there's things I've done in my life as a young man, as a younger man, that never thought about 20 years down the road, 5 years, 10 years down the road. What are the long-term or long-reaching effects? Do we have example of that in the Bible? Sure we do. Go back to Genesis chapter 13. Verses 6 through 13 give us the account of Lot and Abram before he was changed his name to Abraham. Abram and Lot, they had so many herdsmen and so many herds, they were congested. They were having problems between the herdsmen. They were coming to arguments and blows and fighting and so forth. And Abraham says, you know what, it's a great big piece of land out there. You take one direction, I'll go the other. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right or right, I'll go left. And what did Lot do? Lot looked at the plain. He looked at all the water that was down towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and he chose to go that way. What kind of long-reaching and long-term effects did that have on his life and the life of his family? Lost his wife as a result of it. She turned to a pillar of salt because he made that conscious choice to go for the better ground, what he perceived to be the better ground. Sometimes we make a choice, and the long-reaching effects we never consider. None A and B choices, yes or no choices, simple little matters of every day-to-day choices that we make about where to go eat, things like that, that's not what I'm talking about. The choices that we make when it involves family, the brethren, what I'm going to do with my life, the things that have effect on somebody else, what are the long-term? A lot of times we can't see down the road to the long-term effects. That's hard, but we still should take them into consideration. Could Lot have made a different choice based on better information? Or could he have used the information that he had in a better manner to make a better choice? The scriptures give us the idea. It doesn't specifically say so, but it tells us that the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked. Maybe he knew that. Maybe he didn't. But did he go and search out the town, Sodom and Gomorrah, to see how the people were before he decided to lay his tent there? Maybe not. He could have made a better choice with more information. Sometimes it takes a little bit more diligent study about making a choice before we can figure out what the long-term effects might be. But it's very worthy of consideration. Number four, what will it affect, or how will it affect my reputation? For the Christian, maybe this is one of the biggest ones to consider in making choices. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Boy, how many people miss that mark. People all over this country giving up good reputation for wealth, fame, riches, personal glory, personal honor. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Loving favor is better than silver or gold. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, very familiar verse here, the salt of the earth, a light set on a hill. Do you think there's folks out there that judge you? If you're not saying yes, you've missed something. Everybody's judging everybody. People judge you because of the color car you drive, the kind of car you drive, the house you live in, whether your yard's mowed or not, whether you're a Christian or claim to be or not, whether you've got a beard or not. The people judge all kinds of things, whether you wear overalls or dress clothes. People judge those things. If you don't believe that, next time you get that email, people in Walmart, that's people judging everybody else. They'll take pictures of people that are dressed oddly or funny or pitifully, and they'll take pictures and post them on a website or post them on an email, and these are people that go to Walmart. These are real people, and people are judging them by the way they're dressed. Maybe that's all the clothes they got. Maybe not. But what's our place to judge? People will judge you because you're a Christian. And they'll look at everything you do. The choices that you make are going to tell them whether you're shining that light from the hill on the church or that light from the hill on Satan. You've got to be careful making choices. Is it the best? Of all the things I could do, is what I'm about to do, the choice I'm making, is it the best choice based on information, scenario, situation, and so forth? See, God's given us a brain that we need to use. He's given us the intelligence to weigh all this information and make the best choices. And he's given us this wonderful book to guide us in the choices that we make. He's given us example and directives and information and situations that we can go to and help ourselves. He's given that for us. Philippians 1, verses 9 through 10. Paul says, "This I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Paul's prayer was that these people always did and chose the best that was going to be for them, for their family, for the church, for the loved ones, and the best light to shine. We should be no less considerate about those things than Paul was. Will it glorify God? Christians every day do things that are not very glorifying to God. That's a shame, because it affects everybody else that ever will hear about the gospel that has seen what they've done. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all in the name or in the glory of God." Everything we do needs to be to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do, whatever choice you make, whichever way you go. Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." What a wonderful thing it is for us to do something that causes someone else to think about God, to glorify God, to even imagine that God is love, God is good, God is blessing, God is providential. We do those things, it causes people to either think that or not. It's all about the choices we make. So there you have it. Is it lawful? Does it edify? What are the long-term effects likely to be? How will it affect my reputation? Is it the best way or best thing I can do, and will it glorify God? Those things, if we're not considering those things, when we make our bigger decisions, when we make our personal decisions, our life-involving decisions, where you go to eat or what kind of car you drive is really not going to be considered about some of those things. But the way we behave, the words we use, the things we write. Lamont and I were talking about Facebook earlier at lunch. People put a lot of things, Christian people, put a lot of things on Facebook. And you'd be surprised. I don't know how many of y'all see Facebook on the internet if you're involved in that. But it's amazing what someone who claims to be a Christian will put out there for all the world to see. You know, not just the people that I befriend on Facebook see those things that I post, but other friends of theirs see those things that I post. Something to think about. Does everything we put on that website or that computer, does it glorify God? Is it the best we could have said at the time? We talked about, you know, sometimes when you're saying things like that on written text over the internet, there are no facial expressions. You could be meaning something to be cute or funny, and somebody take it the wrong way because they can't see your expression. We got to be careful about those things and the choices we make, especially when it involves someone who can't see you but just reads or knows what you said. Is it fulfilling to these things? It's important. Why is all this even important? Why would I even bother to tell adult Christians what they should do with the decision-making process? There's your answer. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we've used that text and used that text and used that text. We all must appear at some point before the judgment seat, and we'll be held accountable for everything we've done, everything we've said, casual words, words that edified or did not, things we put on Facebook that were not very edifying or were edifying. We'll all stand accountable for those things. In our decision-making process, we ought to take these into consideration. Every time we make a decision, it involves especially someone else, whether it be family, friend, or church. That's your lesson. I hope it's been edifying for you. I hope you'll take those things into consideration in your decision-making process. Decision-making time for some may be tonight to make a decision for Christ. Have you not ever been baptized? Have you not ever been obedient to the gospel? That's a decision that all must make, either yes or no. If your decision has been no up to this point, won't you make it yes? No better time like tonight. Christian, if you need, as we said this morning, if you've been erring and you need to come back to the Lord, there's no better time than right now. Christian, if you need to grow forward and the church can help you do that, as we talked about this morning, no better time than right now. We all got to make choices. We all got to make decisions. Won't you make that decision now as we stand together and as we sing?